The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCBQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Vick, the Portfolio Doctors.
Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors, and a happy weekend to everyone. My name is Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Vick.
And we are the Portfolio Doctors. Today we're going to kind of build on what we spoke about last week and build on what we spoke about the week before. Last week we really covered a topic that we could probably cover over and over and over again.
We probably will cover it again at some point.
There's a good chance. It was one of the best questions I've ever had a listener pose right out of the gate. They just said, how do I get started? I hear you talking about all these different things. How do I get started? And so that was the gist of last week's show. And from that, now we're just going to continue to build on how do you get started. We covered the basics, but everyone's probably heard of or seen the investment pyramid of the different asset classes and where they fit. And generally, that bottom level is the core holding and the core base that holds up that whole pyramid.
Right.
And basically, that's what we're going to cover today.
Yeah, well, not all of it, actually. We're just going to cover the cash and the money market side of things.
We're going to delve into it and get started with that.
But certainly, I mean, just to reiterate as well what we said last week, I mean, this show isn't just dedicated to those with, you know, $20 million or more. I mean, the show is dedicated to absolutely everyone. And for some people, their entire portfolio may just be cash. I mean, you might just have $5,000 and that might be it. And there's nothing wrong with that. We've all got to start somewhere. I mean, I started with $3,000 when I remember way back when.
I started with debt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of people do that as
Correct.
Well. But I mean, so this is really not only is this topic pertinent for those of you out there with very small amounts of cash to invest, but also for those of you with a lot of money to invest. In fact, a lot of times people with a lot of money forget about this cash as an investment.
Correct.
And cash is an investment. I mean, you think about it just as one example. When the market back in 2007, 2008 was really running, right, you could have sold out, gone to a cash position, earning, well, a little bit back then.
Oh, yeah, that was at least a few percent.
Yeah, a couple
of percent.
Early 08. Watched the market crater. Obviously, I'm talking about market timing here, and you know that's almost impossible to do, but I'm just giving you a fictitious scenario. Watch the market crater while you're still earning your 1% or 2%. And then when the market hit bottom, you would have been ready with bunches of cash to make a ton of money when the market recovered.
Right. And that is, there's a huge magnitude to doing that, which again, it is market timing. So you would have to be extremely lucky to be able to make that work perfectly. But
all I'm trying to really say is this is an example of that cash position during that tumultuous time of 08, 09. Would have been a fantastic position to be in.
Oh, absolutely. It's the equivalent of earning 40%?
Yeah, because you would have lost 40 in the market. So right.
It's maybe even greater because of the magnitude of a loss and how much more you have to make just to get back to where you were.
Exactly. So exactly right. But the point really to the whole statement that I made was just to give people an awareness that you don't always have to be invested. And sometimes cash is a really good place to be.
Oh, it's definitely a strategic place to put money with regularity.
Correct. So, I mean, with that said, you know, the other side to a portfolio, we all have heard from the money managers and the people who invest your money on your behalf, and you hear on the news and in on the air, you know, oh, you know, when you retire, you'll earn 6 or 8% rate of return. Now, that's a blended rate of return. Mm-hmm. I mean, that includes your stocks, your bonds, your house, your every single asset you've got, and it should include your cash.
Right.
Now, if your cash, which right now today is earning zero, sometimes less than zero, and we'll get into that a little bit more, if you've got a decent amount of cash and it's earning nothing, the rest of your portfolio has to make a whole lot more to be able to average up to that 8% return.
Absolutely.
So if you can get 1, 2, 3, 4% on your cash, which, you know, 4 is almost unheard of, other than we know a few places you can go. But if you can get that cash working, even an extra 1% or 2%, it takes the heat off the other side of your
That's
portfolio.
What I was just going to say, it relieves some of that burden on the riskier pieces, and maybe you don't need to take nearly as much risk to get that higher blended rate.
Exactly. Because if, let's assume cash is 20% of your portfolio, right, and it earns zero. So you've got 20% earning zero, and you need to average out at 8%. The rest of your portfolio has to be 10 to 12% return. I mean, I understand the stock market did really well last year, but the risk you are taking, once you cross over that 6% number, the risk really starts accelerating.
And that's something that doesn't get talked about very much.
No. So, I mean, we have talked about it on the show once or twice. We've mentioned, you know, the best ever Warren Buffett is like 22, 23%, and everyone just falls off the map after that. But the point to really drive home, that we're trying to drive home here, is that that cash has got to start working for you to try and help you reduce the risk so you can achieve those goals, that goal of 6-8%. I mean, because otherwise, your overall portfolio is really just, you'll be lucky to get 4 or 5 without taking on an inordinate amount of risk.
And even by putting a lot of risk, if you're getting zero, it could still not work out anywhere near that 8%.
Correct.
And you could end up losing a lot of your portfolio because you are taking so much risk. If another 2008 hits.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And now you're down 40%.
Right.
And that's another thing we have mentioned over and over, is that when you look at these nice models that are presented to you before you retire, you're just going to earn 8% year in, year out. You're never going to take a hit. I mean, that's impossible to do.
Right. You could have a small, and this is a big flaw, but they need a starting point. So you need to understand, whenever you see these models for retirement income and expectations, they're factoring a flat rate, 4%, 5%, 6%, whatever that number is, and it's impossible to beat a flat growth rate.
Yep.
Even if you do really, really well, because it's just year in and year out compounding on itself, 4%, 4%, 4%, you will be so much further ahead than averaging 8 or 9% because of the down years in that 8 or 9%.
Correct.
And the risk associated with that. And people don't understand that you just can't compete with a flat line growth rate.
Arithmetic versus geometric means.
Yes, exactly.
Not that we really want to go into that. My word.
I'll let you explain that.
My poor math teacher's rolling over in a grave right about now. Oh, my goodness, he's not going to go down that road, is he? But no, seriously, jokes aside, I mean, that is really what you're looking at. And that compounding number, it works out great when you don't have a drawdown. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you do, it ruins that whole return chart.
Right.
Because it takes so long to get back to where you were before, particularly if we have another 2008 where you lose 20, 30, 40%.
I mean, it doesn't even have to be as bad as 2008. Just a normal market correction of 15 or 20% is very detrimental.
Correct. No, well, so, I mean, let's dig into cash. I mean, let's keep looking at this cash as an investment. So you've got a bit of cash.
So wait, when you say cash, are you referring to the stuff you keep in your mattress? Or your bank accounts, or your checking account, or the piggy bank that you have hidden in the closet. Yes?
All of it? Okay. And you know what? I have a van, a beaten up old 1969 or 70 VW bus. And it's just a joke between my son and I. Every time we go in the van and we have loose change, we throw it on the carpet of the van so that whenever we get somewhere, like we want a hamburger or something, we scratch around on the floor of the van to get the change. So even that I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's everything. It's all encompassing. If you really want to take your portfolio seriously, you've got to add all that stuff together. I mean, you know, take the piggy bank. It sits there, and yeah, it's great because you throw your pennies and stuff in there, and then, you know, end of the year, you bash it open, and suddenly, yoo-hoo, we've got $50. Awesome. Right. But that $50 didn't earn you anything. In fact, it lost 4% because that's potentially what your inflation rate is.
Right. And yeah, speaking of that, almost every single person I know has a jar or a dish or some container that they just empty their change into, and it just fills up. I know the trend used to be to see if you can get the old glass Sparklets bottles full of change. If you did, wow, you could never lift it. But
how much would there be?
I have no idea. I've had a few friends over the years that was their goal, was to fill it up, and it took them years and years and years. And once it got half full, they couldn't hardly move the thing.
You just have to smash it and then deal with a mess.
Big mess.
Okay, so yeah, but so we take this cash, we take that piggy bank, we take all of this cash that you've got in your savings account. I mean, what is a savings account earning right now?
0.01 maybe percent.
I don't know.
If it's even that high.
Anything. I mean, I know in some of my business accounts, I've got $10,000-$20,000 in there, and I get like 3 cents.
Right.
So essentially nothing.
It's a fraction of a percent.
Yeah, essentially zero, right? Mm-hmm. And certainly the cash in your checking account earns nothing.
Right.
Now, while we're on checking and savings accounts, sometimes it pays you, based on those returns, to have the minimum left in your savings account to save the $12 a month bank charge.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you think about that. That's $60 a year, right? And I think, for example, at Wells Fargo, and I don't know other banks, but I think Wells Fargo is like $2,000 or $3,000 that you need in your savings account to stop those monthly charges of $12. So that $60 you return, because that's ultimately $60 returned on $3,000, I mean, you've made 2%. Right. That's a huge rate of return.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, and while it doesn't seem like a lot, you need to be this nitpicky about your portfolio, because right, this is all helping. That 2% is huge.
It really goes back to the rich dad, poor dad theory of my money works for me, I don't work for my money. And this is really, really capitalizing on that and taking full advantage of what's out there with a pretty small effort. Yes, it does require a little bit of effort, but not much.
No.
In order to really make a big difference in the end and being able to retire comfortably versus maybe it being a bit of a stretch, whether or not you'll be able to retire and do all the things you want to.
Correct. So there, that $3,000 suddenly just made you an extra 2% right now.
Right. There you go. Saved money. Well, stick around. When we get back, we will talk a little deeper on the cash and some of the traditional and typical vehicles that people use for their cash. It is the Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Portfolio Doctors on 1170 KCBQ Intelligent Talk Radio. My name is Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Bick.
And we are the Portfolio Doctors. We've been starting with cash, building on what we've talked about over the last couple weeks. And we're going to just continue down that road discussing cash, what people are doing as far as getting returns on their cash, making sure your cash is safe, and making sure your cash is working for you and the impact that has on your retirement.
Yeah, I mean, we've mentioned it, and I'm going to mention it again because this is critical stuff. If you really want that portfolio of yours to earn 6-8% and your cash is earning nothing, and it's 10 to 15% of your portfolio, it's really putting the squeeze on every other part of your investment.
Absolutely.
You've got to get it working, A. And B, in most investment portfolios, you should have 10% minimum, 15% probably more normal, and 20% is a little bit conservative, but in that range of cash lying around, for the simple reason of that if an opportunity shows up, you want to be able to have that opportunity. You want to be able to jump on that opportunity. You don't want to have missed it. It's called opportunity cost in economics. The opportunity cost means that it's the cost of having all your cash tied up and missing a better investment.
Right.
And that cost can be huge.
Well, and you see it a lot. People will talk about, if you own a stock that has depreciated significantly, a lot of people get in the mindset of, oh, I can't sell it now because I've lost so much. And then that stock just plods along at the same price for 5 or 10 years. That's an opportunity cost. And that's where you'll hear that term a little more frequently.
Yep.
It's rare that you'll hear it referred to in the cash sense. But almost always, you could sell out of that position. Yes, you take a loss, but that could be a tax advantage. And then you reinvest that money into something that has a much greater growth opportunity.
Correct.
It was a very common thing with Qualcomm. Everyone's familiar with Qualcomm around here. People that bought it near its high, I don't believe it's still gotten back to its $200 per share high back in 2000. And there's still people that own it that bought it right around that high.
No, well, there's thousands of stocks that aren't even close to where they were.
Oh, correct. Yeah. But I mean, I'm just using that as an example because everybody knows Qualcomm.
Yeah.
You drive anywhere in
example,
San Diego, you see one of their buildings. And the impact of that, look at from 2000 to now, we're looking 14 years of lost opportunity. Yes, it's done well lately, but the reality is you could have done much, much better in 2001, 2002 by selling it and investing in something else.
Correct.
And had a positive return from day one.
So, yeah, no, agreed. So, I mean, we've talked about savings and we've talked about cash. And I guess the next most logical place to go is money markets, right?
Right. Money markets, the most common place you will have cash besides your mattress or your piggy bank.
So what's a money market then?
What is a money market?
Yeah. It's essentially, I mean, as far as I understand it, I mean, you can get it. It was originally brought about in the banking world because they had the Regulation D. I mean, I don't want to get too deep into this, but under Reg D, they couldn't offer certain amounts of returns on savings and various other FDIC-insured type investments. So they created this money market fund to be able to get around that.
Right.
And that's now morphed into something huge, with the idea being that it's supposedly as safe as cash, but it returns a higher rate of return. Now, what they invest in, they take your money. I mean, if you think about your savings account, what does the bank do with that cash? They go out there and they lend it out to people who want to borrow it to buy a house or they want to, you know, I mean. But the thing with savings and cash is you have the FDIC standing behind you. And the FDIC is the federal, Deposit Insurance Corporation.
And that's just all the banks paying money into an account that will protect.
Which, by the way, that account doesn't have a lot of money. Well, it didn't have a lot of money left a while ago.
Yeah, that's a separate topic. There's very few people realize that, what was it, when Washington Mutual, that last bank that went out,
they almost ran out
if that would have fallen on the FDIC, if Chase would not have
picked them up,
been forced by the government to take them over, the FDIC would have been out of money. It wouldn't have had enough to pay the obligations.
But ultimately, right now, under the FDIC rules, any individual can get the guarantee that they're not going to lose any money at a bank up to $250,000.
Per account.
Per account. But, okay, so you open a few accounts with different banks and you can get yourself up well beyond that.
Right.
But, I mean, once you cross over that, I mean, people that are crossing over that are now looking at these money market funds.
Right.
I mean, because a money market fund will actually make you a little bit more. I mean, at this point in time, though, not a heck of a lot.
No, you're still losing money due to inflation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what are the interest rates? Like 0.1% or something?
Right. It's still a fraction of a percent. I don't know of any money market that's paying more than even half of a percent.
Now, the other thing to remember, and a lot of people don't know this, but so money market, they actually take your money, and there have been a few rule changes over the years. But essentially what they do is they invest in commercial paper and treasury bills and very short-term type investments, which are relatively safe.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that it's 100% safe. I mean,
Correct.
There's that called Breaking the Buck.
Oh, yes. What was it? Was it 08 or early 09 when
that
was a big...
September 08.
Okay, so late 08.
Yeah, and what happened was in September 08, it was basically when Lehman Brothers went down.
Okay.
And what happened was there was this instant panic because people were going, I need to get my money out of the banking system now because the whole banking system is falling to the ground. It's going to be gone. And there was this run. Can't call it a run because it never happened, but there was a mass withdrawal out of money market accounts. And essentially, because the people had lost the actual confidence in the banking system, mm-hmm. so they were trying to pull money out of the accounts. And so the buck was going to get broken. In other words, when you had a money market fund, they say your dollar is going to be worth a dollar
right.
at the end.
They for every dollar you put in, the value stays at a
stays
dollar.
Stays a dollar. So mm-hmm. breaking the buck means you put in a dollar, you get 96 cents back, for example, mm-hmm. right? Well, in this case, and it has happened 3 or 4 times prior to this, and it was going to happen again, where the investors were going to lose money in their money market funds, and because of the withdrawals couldn't be met. And so what happened was the Fed actually stepped in and saved the whole thing, which annoyed a few of the other banks because they had had the buck broken before.
Right.
And they weren't
no
rescued
one helped
then.
Out.
And so now it's a little bit of selective of who gets rescued. But there is a chance of this buck being broken. But in that case, the Fed did step in and rescued everyone and paid everyone out. That was a scary situation. So money market funds is not FDIC protected. You can actually lose your money.
Right. And if it is a money market that is considered a mutual fund, which I think we'll cover that a little bit as well, it's looked at and insured differently.
Correct.
It is covered through
yeah.
SIPC, which is the Security Investor Protection Corporation, I believe. It's similar right. to FDIC, but it doesn't guarantee principal at all. It just guarantees that that investment is your investment. It's not a dollar amount where you're insured up to a certain dollar limit.
Correct. Now, you can get a money market account, which is a little bit different. That's not right. a money market fund. A money market account is just something offered by the bank that supposedly earns you a slightly higher rate of interest.
Right.
And that would be FDIC.
Right, that falls under FDIC.
But yeah, I mean, it's supposedly a way to help you make more money on your cash. Mm-hmm. It does come with a very small amount of risk. I mean, we're talking very small. But
because that was a pretty extreme situation in a way.
It has to be an extreme mm-hmm. situation. Because the only way that a money market fund can actually not pay you back or have the buck broken is either that type of situation when there's this liquidity run on the banks. And the reason I didn't use run on the banks is because that's actually quite a technical term. Run on the banks happened back in the 30s where you literally had lines of people going out and trying to all pull their money out, and the banks just ran out of money and just collapsed.
Right.
And that's called the run on the bank, right? And that never actually happened because the Fed stepped in and saved the situation, but it got pretty close to that happening. And when you think about the banks as an institution, they're only required to hold 10% in reserves. So you give a bank $100, they keep $10 under the till or, you know, with the Federal Reserve or wherever that they can draw on right away.
In the vault.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other $90 gets lent out.
Right.
So if 10 people then, or 2 people, sorry, not even 10, 2 people show up at the bank that day to withdraw $100, it's not there.
There's not enough money to cover it.
No. So it's not hard for there to be a run on the bank. All you need is a lapse of confidence.
Right.
I mean, they will eventually be able to get the money, but you won't be able to all get it that exact day because it's just illiquid.
Correct.
And so that's really what can happen with breaking the buck. And the other way the buck can get broken is right now where you have really low interest rates. And the expenses associated with running a money market fund exceed the return that the bank can get.
I've seen that on numerous occasions where in 401ks, especially the cash vehicle is a money market fund, and the cost of that fund is 0.25%, 0.3%, something like that, to just for the manager to manage the holdings within this money market fund, and it's paying a fraction of a percent, so even less, like maybe a tenth of a percent,
yeah.
and you're paying 0.25%. So you're actually losing by having your money in the safe spot.
Yeah, I've seen also.
Not even counting the inflation or any of the other yeah. aspects on how you would lose money. This is literally, if you put $100 in today, it's going to cost you 0.25%, and you're only going to earn 0.1%.
Yeah, I saw a money manager who managed this guy's portfolio, and he charged 1% to manage the money. And the guy had 20% in cash, which was earning nothing, but he was still charging that 1%. So that guy's losing 1% just on that cash to pay this guy his fees. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yes.
I mean, you know, so there you go. There your money is literally actually losing money just sitting there.
On a bigger scale in that example.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why the Fed drives interest rates down so low is because they want to force people to invest money.
Right.
I think maybe we can talk about that a little bit later.
Yes. As we're talking about these items, we're hoping this will create questions in your minds about some of the things we're discussing. And if you want any clarity on any of the topics we ever talk about, please reach out to us. You can email either of us. My email address is dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. That is plural, Portfolio Doctors. Or you can contact steve@theportfoliodoctors.com. Or just reach out to us through the website at www.theportfoliodoctors.com. And we will get back to you very quickly and answer any questions. If there's a topic you'd like us to cover that you've read about and you're not sure on some things, we will gladly do that. Or just any questions of any financial type. We definitely want to hear from you and answer your questions. So stick around. When we get back, we'll continue our conversation about cash and how to utilize it as part of your portfolio.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ 1170, Intelligent Talk Radio. My name is Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Bick.
And today we're continuing our conversation about cash and how it fits into the portfolio and how you can make it work for you in a meaningful manner.
Yeah, and right before I was rudely interrupted by the commercials.
I was just getting on a roll.
And I was just explaining why, you know, the Fed lowers interest rates. It's one of the tools it uses to try and expand an economy or get things moving. And one of the reasons that they do it is because when people are sitting on cash, because they're going to safety, and typically that is what you do.
2008 into 2009 was the best reason to go to safety.
For sure. So you've got a cash buildup, and they're watching this cash buildup in the system, and they want it to get invested because they want the economy to kickstart, and they want the money to go out, go to work. And the way it goes to work is, you know, you invest in businesses and various other places, and that hopefully kickstarts the economy. Well, if they drive interest rates down like they've done to historically low rates, no one's making any money on their money.
Right. Almost forces you
to go out. Right. And the problem is that you're seeing that in the stock market right now. It just keeps going higher and higher and higher. The risk gets greater and greater and greater, but people keep pumping money in there because it's sort of the only game in town.
Right. You can't get anything from a CD, money markets that we've been talking about.
Well, what is it? Let's talk about a CD. I don't think we've really dealt with that. So what is, explain a CD for a second.
certificate of deposit, typically through a bank,
right?
And they'll just guarantee you a rate. Where right now, with rates being so low, those rates aren't very high.
Yeah, you can get a 2-year CD. I think it's less than 1% still.
Right, and I think banks will offer as far as like a 10-year. I know I've seen brokered CDs you can get as far as 20 and 30 years.
When you say brokered, what, through like a Schwab or something,
right,
like that?
Right, they're offered through a big institutional bank.
Got it.
And it's just basically a longer-term CD. So oh, yeah. It can be as, I've seen them as long as 30 years.
A CD for 30 yeah. years.
And right now I think that's paying 3%, 3.25%, something like that for 30 years. So,
And what is the penalty if you want to pull out?
Those are traded much like a bond in that whatever rates are doing at the time would impact your
principal. So in other words, it's value at risk if you want to pull out.
Correct.
Okay, ouch. And you're only getting 3% for 30 years.
Correct.
And by the way, that's 3% a year. That's,
yes.
So you invest the $1,000, you're going to make, what's that, $30 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Okay, well, and you're locked up for 30 years. But yeah, all right. So a CD, a lot of retirees use CDs. I remember back in the good old days, you could get 6-7% on a 2-3 year note.
And that's probably the group that has been the most heavily impacted by rates being so low, because
killing us.
The people that are retired investing in those CDs, they were basically living off the interest that those CDs were paying. And when it's 5 or 6%, that might make it pretty easy to accomplish that goal of living expenses. Or now, think about that. If you were earning 5% consistently and now you're earning 0.1% on those same dollars, you're going to have to spend down principal. And now every year that goes by, retirement's getting more and more difficult because you have less money to spend.
And that's the reinvestment risk, because some people were fine in 2009, 2010, 11.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when rates were still...
Because they had those investments. But then when those investments suddenly matured and they went to reinvest it again, suddenly they saw their interest just get decimated.
And that's where you'll see those people in the 30-year brokered CDs, 3%. It's a lot closer to the 5 they were getting than the 0.1% right now.
But
so it's almost forcing them to do that because they still want the safety behind a bank.
I don't want to get into bonds because we're going to get into bonds another day. But, I mean, essentially that brokered CD is like a bond.
If
you want to exit out and you've had a spike in interest rates, so you want to take advantage of the higher interest rate, the value of that investment's going to go through the floor.
Right, it's going to get crushed.
Now, you're not going to get even close to your money back out of there.
Right.
So
it's definitely not a liquid CD, so it doesn't fit into a cash vehicle.
No,
it's just
really
a type of CD.
About up to 2 years, I would think, in terms of a relatively liquid base, and you're getting less than 1% on that.
Yes.
But at least under a CD, it is FDIC insured, so you've protected again.
Correct. You know you're going to get your principal back when it matures, and that's the safety factor that people are falling back on, saying, well, I just want to make sure I don't lose this.
Now, I have a question, and I don't actually know the answer to this one, because maybe you do, Dan, but if you have a savings account and then a checking account and a CD, are all three of those get the 250, or is it all under an umbrella if it's all at the same bank?
It's generally tied to a name.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So if it's a husband and wife, then you get double of the 250.
Yep.
There's also cases where if you have a trust account, then it can be the trustees and the trust itself. So then you can add an additional one. Sometimes, depending on the bank, sometimes they'll honor even more. If you have a bunch of 3, 4, 5 or trustees listed, you can get that insurance
for all.
Okay,
so then don't get fooled. If, let's say, you've got $500,000 to invest, and you think, okay, I'll put $200,000 in a savings account, $200 in a checking account and $100 in a CD. You're still not, unless those are different banks, you're not covered for
correct.
That last.
You would have to go to a different bank in order to get the full coverage.
Well, that's something worth knowing, because if really to me, and I do a lot of alternative investments, as you know, a lot of people, they want that FDIC insurance. I mean, they've bought into the fact that the FDIC is going to protect them and they're not going to lose money, but you've got to work out where you're protected and where you're not, because if you're suddenly not protected, you're really losing out now.
Right.
Because you're getting a low interest rate and you're not protected. I mean, well, there's a double whammy.
Yes.
Yeah. So
kind of important to know.
Is double whammy a technical term?
I think from a statistician, economist type view that you take, yes, it absolutely is.
Yes. Okay, so what's an alternative maybe to this?
There are a number of alternatives. Probably one of the most common ones that I've seen come up, and they haven't been around forever. They're relatively new, and they're starting to pop in other avenues, but common in a 401k defined benefit type plan.
So it has to be in a retirement plan.
So far, that's the only place I've
seen. For this alternative.
Correct. And this would be stable value funds.
Okay, what is that?
Which, back in 2008, this was maybe one of the best places to have your money.
2008?
Back in 2008, when the market was going down, because basically the way the instrument works is they will guarantee some minimum rate of return, which meaning in a good year, it's not going to do very well, but
so
in the down year...
it's an insurance product.
Correct. It does have an insurance
product, right.
Factor. It is just a mutual fund choice within your retirement plan, typically.
Oh, it is?
But there is an insurance portion to it that protects and guarantees a rate
of
return.
So you've got a guaranteed minimum rate of return.
Correct. And you can still lose money. So
you can?
Yes. So
it's the same as a money market fund in that you can lose money.
Right.
Not likely, but there is that chance.
Correct. It's... like 2008, again, is when these things really shined, because people that had those were not losing money when everybody else they knew were losing on everything they owned. So that insurance feature, and it's GICS, GIC, which I believe is Guaranteed Insurance Contract.
Okay.
I can verify that and get back to everyone.
So who issues these? The insurers must be.
There's an insurance contract that guarantees that specific minimum return. And each one's going to be a little bit different. I've heard somewhere around the 3% range is a pretty common rate of return that they will tell you that that's the worst case you're going to do.
What's a shame, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but you know what's a shame is the fact that in the insurance world, there really are, and we'll dig into this stuff in shows to come, but there really are, and I'm not an insurance guy at all, but there really are a lot of good products in the insurance world. Really are. But the problem is you have to deal with the insurance sales guy. Seriously. I mean, if they could somehow just please, you know, make it. And I'm not saying that our industry is any better. I mean, you know, in the investment world, there's a bunch of sales guys in there
There's
as well.
Tons of great people. And then there's your handful of
but seriously,
not so great
if
people.
They would just present their stuff in a clear, concise way so people could understand. I mean, this is a good product.
Yes. Yeah.
Admittedly, it is in a 401k, and I don't deal in the world of 401ks. Mm-hmm. That's why I haven't heard too much about it. But, I mean, that's something. I mean, that's good.
Right. And the main vehicles that are used within this are bonds, which, again, we're going to get into that probably for an entire show, maybe two. And they will buy longer-term maturities,
right,
which will give you the higher interest rate, which will help give that guaranteed or that stable value.
Right. But if you're getting 3% on your 2 or 3% on your cash versus zero.
Oh, that's...
I mean, we're really helping you move that needle now.
Absolutely. Now you maybe only need to make 5 or 6% on a lot of the higher-risk stuff.
Correct.
Versus 10 or 15.
Yeah.
Which is pretty impactful.
Hugely.
So that's probably the most common cash alternative. I know when I've reviewed for people their 401ks and the options that are available, rather than the money market, I will choose the stable value fund every day of the week.
Well, I don't know, because I have one that I can't mention on the air.
No, I'm saying within their 401k.
Oh, I see.
The choices that are available, you only have a finite number of choices that are available for you.
Right.
And so if that's one of the choices, one of the sleeves you can pick, it almost always makes sense. Each one's going to be slightly different, so you'd have to look at each one individually, but that can be a very good cash component.
Oh, sure.
To fill in and give yourself.
I mean, you're not in and out?
It's very liquid. Just like any other investment, you can buy it one day, sell it the next.
Because that's the one thing when we're talking about cash to think about is the liquidity of the investment. And what we mean by that is, what is your access to this cash? I mean, obviously, if you've got cash in your checking account, or the best cash is the cash in your wallet,
right.
I mean, you've got instant access to that, right? You need money, there it is. And everything from there.
Debit cards.
Yeah, don't forget about them. But, I mean, everything from there pretty much becomes a little bit more illiquid, so it takes a little bit longer to get to your cash. And every time you take that step further away from being able to access your money, you typically get a better rate of return because, hopefully, if what you're getting before that longevity, you're getting a higher return.
Right.
So, I mean, in your one example you gave, which was that 30 years, I mean, you're 30 years away from your money.
Right. Well, you'll be getting paid interest along the way, but yes, you're never going to see your principal for 30 years.
Take this example, that CD you mentioned, 30 years at 3%. Why not rather do this thing if you're in a 401k, do this?
Right. If you're in a 401k, that's what I'm saying. It's a good solution. Well, stick around. When we get back, we'll talk about other alternatives and dig a little deeper into this as a cash alternative. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ 1170.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ 1170, Intelligent Talk Radio. My name is Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Bick.
We are doing our best to educate you on how to look out for yourself, how to make sure your money works for you.
Well, it's education. I mean, what we're trying to do is help people learn what they need to know to be able to expand their investment. Because when you go to most portfolio money manager type people, they're not even, I mean, they're going to maybe try and get you to take that cash and put it into the stock market or something like
right.
that.
I've heard some investment people say it's irresponsible to have more than 5% cash.
Yeah, well, there you are. You see, so
that money should be invested. It's not prudent. And the reason for that is there's money to be made if that money's invested. When it's sitting in cash,
they don't make any money.
They're not making any money.
So it's now just on this little basis, it's important for you to learn this, because if you can do a good job with your money, your cash, and you can say, no, the only investment dollars I've got are these, and I'm keeping this cash aside for other opportunities or just in case of a rainy day or whatever it might be, now it's up to you. The onus is on you for sure on that piece to be able to start trying to make it work.
Right. Make sure that cash is at least doing a little something for you. You're not going to get 5, 6, 7% like maybe you did 10 or 15 years ago.
But you will one day, more than likely, again.
Oh, correct.
And, I mean, there's never stop learning and never stop trying to actively get this money working. Start today.
Right.
Just start today with this, as we mentioned, stop paying your $12 a month on your checking account fees.
Right. Even if it requires just moving it to an account that there are no account minimums,
right,
where there's not a fee. So what if it doesn't have some fancy feature? You're saving yourself a big percentage every single month.
And you talked about debit cards and credit cards. I mean, those things, you know, if you've got a credit card with a balance of any kind of balance and you're sitting on a lot of cash and you're paying 12% interest on that credit card debt, pay it off with your cash. That's made right. you 12% right there.
Right.
And where else can you make 12%?
That may
Maybe
be a,
18.
That may be a topic that we'll cover for an entire show in the coming weeks as well. Just
yeah.
how to get a handle on debt if you do have debt, and the best ways that you can strategically pay that off, and why it makes sense to do things like Steve just mentioned. Pay that high credit card, that high balance or high interest rate credit card off as soon as possible, because that is literally putting money back into your pockets.
So if you've gone to a portfolio manager or money manager and you take and you say, hey, I want to get started, or I've got $25,000, where should I invest it? And that money manager doesn't say, well, do you owe any money on credit cards? Go somewhere else.
Right. It's let me see what your investment accounts look
yeah,
like,
says,
or how much money can you invest.
Yeah. Let's go. Well, I've got this mutual fund, and now you find a salesman versus a money manager.
Right. Someone
Seriously.
That has an incentive to sell a product.
I had a guy show up once. He had 50 grand. By the time he left me, I only took 10 of it. Mm-hmm. The other 40, we paid off his truck. We paid off his credit cards. We paid off a whole bunch of other things. He was completely debt free. He ended up, sure, with 10 grand. He could. The point of the matter is he could access that other 40 if he needed to. He could get a loan against his truck again. He could get a credit mm-hmm. card, you know, draw money off his credit card again.
Or so, just use the credit card.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you can still access that money. But a lot of people think, oh, if I pay it off, I've lost my safety net. No, the safety net is your credit card.
Right.
Stop paying the 12% interest. But I mean, so there I'd made him 12 or 15% right on his cash.
Right. And you actually see that. And that's a part people don't understand. Is it say, for example, you have a $10,000 credit card balance.
Yeah.
And you can pay off $1,000 on that, and it's 18%. You're now saving yourself that 18%,
bucks.
$180 per year that you will never have to pay again,
right.
provided you don't charge another $1,000 on that card after you pay it down. But
well, better still, your next payment that you make will eat up more. It will be less if it goes to interest, so
right.
you actually get out of debt faster.
Correct.
So you're stopping that spiral, negative spiral of the debt.
Right. Well, we're getting a little sidetracked here. We're starting on a new show. But these are things to think about, because if you are sitting on a bunch of cash, this could be a great use for it rather than
right.
sitting on it. Pay some debt off that's actually working against you. Because these credit card companies today, 18, 19, I saw some literally this past week, 24%.
Wow.
Think about that.
What a spread.
Right. How many years are you going to take to pay that off? If you're just making the minimum payment, you're looking at longer than a mortgage to just pay that off if you never, ever use that card again.
Wow.
And that's pretty powerful if you can get that paid off and remove that burden. You're literally paying yourself 20%+ by paying that debt down.
Yep.
And that's much better than you can hope for in the market in normal years.
No doubt.
So, With that, you are listening to the Portfolio Doctors. We're here on KCBQ 1170. Any of these topics we talk about, any shows we hint at, or any financial topic that you might want to know more about, or if you have a specific question, please reach out to us. You can call us 858-764-7250. Once again, that's 858-764-7250. Steve, how do you feel about books?
You know, you are a
prized author here. Do you want to give away a few books this
sure.
week?
Yeah, absolutely.
How many do you want to do? Five,
yeah,
10?
Five sounds good.
Okay. The first five listeners that email or call that number, 858-764-7250. We'll get a copy of Steve's book, hot off the presses, or you can email either of us, dan@theportfoliodoctors.com or steve@theportfoliodoctors.com. We'll look at the order of all the calls and emails received, and we'll get a copy of a book out, or at least get in contact with you to find out how you want to receive the book. Been talking cash alternatives, stable value funds, probably the one people are most common with. We talked a little bit about that.
I mean, there are other alternatives. Unfortunately, we can't actually mention them on the air because we have to qualify people to see if they...
Right, there's regulatory guidelines
right.
for different investment choices out there. If we could explain how all the different ones we're aware of work, we would definitely do it, but it's on a case-by-case basis. So.
Yeah, for the true alternative, I mean, we've explained everything we can that's open to everybody, mm-hmm. but outside of that, everything else has to be qualified. But, I mean, that's probably another reason. If you're sitting on a ton of cash, to give us a call, and at worst, we can just give you some other old ideas.
Right, and go over some of the things we've talked about and see if one solution fits into your situation better than another, and just give you the advice, say, here's what you should do. Go out and do it.
Right. No, exactly right. You know, and so use us as a resource for sure.
Absolutely. That's why we're here. We want to help educate everyone who's listening and allow you to make the very best decisions for yourself.
Yeah. And once again, and I know cash just seems like a pretty mundane topic. Mm-hmm. But I can't say, I mean, in our world of managing money, 8% return year in, year out is virtually impossible to get.
But it's what the stock market's averaged over its history, right?
Yeah, but who's got everything in the stock market? Right. And if you do, you better have a strong stomach, because you've had to have lived through 2000, through 2007, through a few other 1987, 1997, you know, 2004 or whatever. I mean, it was... You're constantly getting these knee jerks. And so it's really hard just to let it go. And the other side of that is, that's all timing again. People say, oh, you can't time the market. Well, that's true. But what happened if your retirement plan had said that on December 2008 was when you were going to sell all of your stocks out of the market and start drawing on it for your retirement, and suddenly stocks were down 40%?
Right. Your whole portfolio is off.
Unfortunately, that is part of the whole problem, is
correct.
When is your exit and what is your retirement window? I mean, are we talking 20 years, 30 years? How long do you have until you actually retire?
Right.
So sometimes when people look back, and as you've just said, Dan, yeah, but the history of the stock market has returned 8 to 10%. Well, what was that from 1920 until today, 100 years? Well, I don't know many people who put their whole investment in 100 years ago.
Right.
Most of us have an investment window of 20 to 30 years. Mm-hmm. And if you rewind the clock over the last 20 years, that takes us from 2014 back to 1994. I mean, the average return for the market's less than 5%, I think.
Yeah, because we had the window, up to...
From 1994 to 2000, you made all your money. Since then, it's just been sideways.
Right, because it was literally a lost decade. Again, the second big lost decade.
Correct.
2008 wiped out all gains.
Yeah.
If you were in, and granted, there were probably plenty of people taking gains off the table leading up to that before 2008 hit.
You would think, but once again, now right. If you're taking your gains off the table, now you're not, what's that money doing?
Right.
Is that in cash?
Right.
So, I mean, to get this, the point of my whole conversation and the whole conversation today is you need to be aware that you need to get this cash of yours working. And I'm not saying put it at risk. I'm just saying make it work. Even 1% is making it work.
Because on a percentage basis, from 0.1% to 1%.
It's huge.
That's a big increase in what your return is.
What's that? 10 times the amount of return you're getting.
Right.
And you've got to always look at these types of percentages. You can't just go, oh, well, it's only 1%, a waste of my time.
Right.
No, 1%. Compounded over 20 years, it makes a big difference.
That's, in most cases, it's thousands, if not tens of thousands.
Correct.
And potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Exactly
when
right.
When you're talking about very much money spread out over that period of time, just from the compounding effect.
Exactly. So you've got to take a look at your cash, see how much you've got, see what it's earning, and just without taking additional risk, and if you're having problems working out how to do that, give us a call, we'll help you. But I don't want you to take more risk with your cash. I'm not saying dump it in the stock market. I'm just trying to show you, or we're trying to show you, alternatives as to what to do with this cash to get it working for you without taking more risk.
Good point. Well, that about does it today. Thank you very much for listening. You have been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ 1170, Intelligent Talk Radio. If you do want to reach out to us, if you like anything we've talked about or have a specific question, we can either answer on the air or off the air. You can call 858-764-7250. or you can email one of us, dan@theportfoliodoctors.com or steve@theportfoliodoctors.com. Visit our website, theportfoliodoctors.com. We've got podcasts there, and we're also available on iTunes. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ in San Diego. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, please call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.